It's been a short week, but a big week here on Triple M's Breakfast Show. Here are the, well, I was going to say the highlights. Let's just call it the top five for the week.
The top five things we've learned on Roo and Dits this week.
Number five. Last week, Roo was in hospital, but still managed to give his horse racing tips.
I'm not too bad. I've just had a couple of endones, so...
And Willow, when heavily medicated, you probably shouldn't operate heavy machinery or give out horse racing tips.
I've never gambled in my life. Yep. Do you think this is the good first one to do?
Now's the time
this
to start.
This is the one?
The bloke who's just had two endone. What do you think?
Number four. We learned sometimes the boys do their research while they're on air.
There's a new Guinness World Record here. This fellow, he's a Turkish man. We've got the photo in front of us. This is incredible. This bloke's nose is 19 centimetres long.
What?
7.5 inches.
What?
Can you believe it?
Hang on, where have you got that stat from, Dit? I'm reading a different one here.
Nah, go to page two.
Page two?
Got to read the whole article, Ruth.
It says 8.8 centimetres on that page.
It's maybe all right. It's in circumference. Yeah, see that, see what I'm reading here in the last paragraph, almost the last paragraph on page two, 19 centimetres. 7.5 inches long. Aren't you reading the same thing?
That's a circus performer, though, is it? Is that a different person?
Anyway, this segment's going well. Can you play a song, Adam?
Anyway.
This segment's a bit on the nose. Let's move on to number three. Adelaide Zoo's pandas had a 72-hour window to mate this year and failed. We learnt no matter what happens, it's probably Port's fault.
When you put as much money and effort into a couple of bloody pandas to try and get them to breed and they can't get the job done, I think they need a full independent review of the whole situation down there, Loz, at
the
moment.
They've tried everything. They've literally tried videos.
They had a bloody exercise regime for a Wang Wang.
Well, they were worn out, obviously.
He was doing squats and exercising.
Maybe it's like, you know, with the Olympics, it's like you train for 4 years and then this is your moment and you choke.
Do you reckon they're a bit like Port in the prelims?
Yes!
Oh! If you don't. So that's Port's fault as well.
Number two, we know about the Truro murders.
The investigation into the Truro murders was one of the largest SA police had undertaken at that time.
And unfortunately, the murders continue. This week, we learnt Roo murdered a public toilet in Truro.
I was constipated and I hadn't been to the toilet for few days, so I built up a fair bit of
power.
Anyway, I had to see it. I think we're going to have to pull over. Hobbled into the disabled toilet. It was like a houseboat pulling up to the poo station.
Oh, God, the murders aren't even the worst thing that have happened in Truro now.
To all the people in Truro this morning, if you're wondering, you're going, what was that? Well, you now know.
Number one, we learned that Dits gets a few questions wrong sometimes. So many, in fact, that he's now got his own theme tune.
Questions that Dits gets wrong.
Hey! The Australian Defence Forces over there, that's so locals that we really want to make safe and get out of there. Plus, we've got around 200 of our own people, I think, that work in the embassy, and we've got dual citizens. Do those numbers sound around about right to you?
No, not at all.
Questions that Dits gets wrong.
Hey! Or this question to Dits' mate working in the Northern Territory.
Are you allowed to tell us what you were meant to be doing up there? Is it a big, you know, project for South Australia or what was happening?
Oh, well, obviously it's in the Northern Territory, Dits, so it's not South Australia.
Yes, but your company is South Australia.
Questions that Dits gets wrong.
Hey! What about Dits' questions to school kids?
Head down to St. Michael's School. G'day, Lockie.
Hi.
How are you, Lockie?
Now, Lockie, which St. Michael's do you go to?
Primary.
Yeah, which is a... is that...
And this great Chris Dittmar question from Wednesday this week.
Rose, how old are you?
I'm 9.
And what school do you go to?
I go to Sturt Street Community.
Sturt Street Community.
And is that in Sturt Street?
Yes.
Oh, that's a very stupid question, Dits.
Questions that Dits gets wrong.
Hey. The top five things we've learned on Zoom Dits this week.
That's very unfair.
Oh, God, they pick on you, Dits.
I was trying to
seriously.
Be funny.
Yeah, you were funny. I was laughing. That was gold. Been one of the longest fiascos on Triple M. Dits building a gym that was going to be a man cave ended up being a gym. Yeah. He took him probably 12 months to do a 3-week renovation to get it open. He finally got it open. We managed to prank him into getting some gear from the Australian gym equipment.
A 10K voucher. What we'd want in exchange is some Instagram videos and socials of you actually using it, if that's something you can offer.
Yeah, for sure.
He swallowed that
hook. Have you not milked enough out of this gym or not?
Swallowed that hook. We took him to the vet to get the hook out of his mouth, and then he opened up the gym.
Yep.
He had one session at Anytime Fitness.
Yep.
And then he claims that the door jammed. Got jammed.
The door on it's broken. Oh. We can't open the door.
Oh, no.
What an excuse. It's stuck. I'd love to go in there and try. Oh,
the big sliding door. Kate can't open it.
He was silly enough to release information that a man dropped a business card into his letterbox a couple of days ago saying, I fix doors. Mm. And his name is Gerard, and he joins us now. G'day, Gerard.
Morning, Roo.
So you went to fix Ditz's gym. How hard was it to fix?
Wasn't that Roo, it was just a corkscrew stuck in a track to the doors.
It opened up easily, did it? What was the gym actually like?
It's actually quite nice in there.
Yeah.
A lot of mirrors, very small set of weights, look more suitable for a teenager than an adult.
Oh, it's far out.
It didn't get you look like it hardly been used.
Yeah, no, well, that's right.
It's been a lot of blood, sweat and tears.
What else was in there?
It's got a little kitchen with a microwave. I opened that up and found a melted Port Adelaide membership in there.
Oh, that is unbelievable. What else happened in there?
He wanted me to put up a small TV.
Yeah.
Yep.
And hook up an old video recorder.
Right. Yeah. What was that for?
I thought that was a bit weird, but after all, he's paying the bill.
Yep.
Since he wasn't there, chapped on an old videotape, which is always a bit risky.
Yeah.
But once I press play, pop some footage of Ditz playing against some old Pakistani boy.
Yeah, how was he going?
Getting badly beaten.
Well, I need motivation
to train. Badly beaten.
I need to train, don't I?
Yeah.
I need motivation.
What happened in the game, Jarrett?
This would have given him inspiration to train the way he was getting beaten. He lost it. He lost it and bit the ball in half.
What?
Yeah, well, I needed a rest. I was getting a bit tired.
You bit the ball in half?
Yeah. Well, it was pretty hot in Karachi, you know.
So you cheated?
Yeah.
All right. What else was in there?
There were some floaties on the floor and a couple of books.
Couple of books? What were the books about?
How to learn to swim when middle-aged and overweight.
What was the other book?
It was by some of your relations, I think. The more you put in, the more you get out.
Yeah. All right. What was that about? Punting?
Horse racing.
Yeah. All right. Okay. That's not a bad book. What else was in there?
Lots of pictures of himself back in the day, action shots, a couple of shots of him holding the squash racket, a couple of pictures of him next to some winning horses, a picture of him and Lady Di.
What?
She didn't look too happy, but he did.
She didn't look too happy. What else was on the walls?
There were some posters of the Beatles and Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
Russell Ebert was up there.
Yeah.
Big poster of you, Roy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, actually, there was quite a few of you,
right? Oh, okay. Well, all right. That'll inspire him. Yeah, anything else in there?
The most interesting photo I saw was a picture of Ditz and some Port players.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what were they doing?
My Port players.
They look like they've been snow skiing.
They are not downhill skiers, all right?
Who was in the photo?
I couldn't tell. It looked like Todd Marshall.
No, it wasn't. Right, get off. Get off. Get off. That's the last job you ever do at my joint.
All right, Gerard. Thanks
Go look for a new job.
Hey, I'll see you at my joint on Monday. All right, mate.
Can I just say, is he coming around to your place? What's he fixing at your joint?
Just a couple of doors.
Hey, Gerard, as you know, doors are more expensive in Burnside. Just bump that invoice up a little bit.
What's the name of your business, Gerard, if you need a bit of business, mate?
It's a round tour of property maintenance up in Handoff, mate.
What is it? Say it again.
Around two with property maintenance.
Speak slower for Roo, if you could.
Around two of property maintenance. Beautiful. Good on you, mate. Thanks for calling in.
No problem, Clyde. Have a good one.
See you, mate.
Oh, jeez.
What did you learn?
On Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
What did you learn?
What did we learn?
Did you learn something?
What did we learn?
What did we learn?
Well, I know you're not big on public toilets,
no,
Dits.
No.
You never have. You like to do your business on your own deck, don't
Very
you?
Very private.
You don't trust the seats out and about that other people sit on. But I had to. I had no choice on the weekend. For everyone who's out there who's had a reasonably major operation, you know that afterwards you get constipated.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I had my operation mid last week and got out on Friday and decided to go to the Riverland to recuperate and sat in the back seat of my wife's Tarago and stuck the leg through to the front seat.
See, this is new because you don't actually let Sarah drive when you go on these long ride.
It wasn't a good trip. I didn't enjoy it at all.
I could imagine there'd be a few instructions coming from the back seat.
Well, you can ask the wife about all that. I don't trust my wife driving.
No. Back seat driver.
Yeah.
Mm. You do it even when you're not driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God!
So put all that put a bad foot into the situation, bad leg in the situation. Oh. Anyway, I was constipated,
right,
and I hadn't been to the toilet for a few days,
mm-hmm,
so I built up a fair bit of
Jesus.
Power. Anyway, coming into Truro, I started feeling a mighty pain.
Good place for a dump.
Truro is known for
Truro's
a couple of other things.
Enough over the years.
Truro murders. Anyway, I had to say to Sarah, I think we're going to have to pull over. And pulled over at the public toilet. And it had been raining. There was no one there on a long weekend, which was very weird. Thank God, because usually it's quite busy anyway. I hobbled into the disabled toilet and dropped a. It was like a houseboat pulling up to the poo station.
Oh God, the murders aren't even the worst thing that have happened in Truro now.
No.
Anyway, I feel horribly guilty getting back in the car and driving to Wakery afterwards.
So. To all the people in Truro this morning, if you're wondering, you're going, what was that? Well, you now know.
For all the travellers that go into the public toilets.
Yeah, put your foot down.
And blame the council.
Put your foot down and keep
not
going.
Cleaning the public toilets on the weekend.
Righto, Loz, what did you learn?
So I was, I don't even know how I came across this. I was on the internet and came across something from Blondie. I don't know if we've got any Blondie music you can queue up. I probably should have warned you about that earlier, Hayter. Sorry.
Heart of glass or something.
She, back in the 70s, narrowly avoided being killed by Ted Bundy.
What?
So she
and
was.
Ted Bundy being the one of the
mass murderers. Yeah,
biggest ever.
Yeah. And he was killing women in Florida and in New York City during the 70s and 80s, I think.
Wow.
Anyway, so late at night, she was finishing up a gig and she was looking for a taxi in Manhattan, sort of. And this is new. You know, back in the day, you kind of used to thumb rights with people. Some bloke pulled up in a little V-dub, little white stripped V-dub. She got in and looked at him. Very handsome, charming man, and then noticed that he was a bit weird and being a bit off, and then the car smelt bad and everything was starting to freak her out.
Right.
And she looked, she went to go open the door at a stop line. There was no handle.
Oh,
but luckily
no.
The window was down about an inch and she put her hand up where he couldn't see and she pulled the window down and opened it from the outside, jumped out and then hid in a factory, and he did loops for about half an hour looking for her. Thought nothing of it.
What a story.
Then saw his face in the news years later and went, oh, my God, that was the guy who picked me up.
Hell.
Gee whiz.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's a spooky story. All
Debbie
right.
Harry.
Hey, Ross, what did you learn over the weekend?
You know, the Darlington, what did you call it, Roo? The
Spaghetti Junction.
Spaghetti Junction.
Weren't they, Dits?
Darlington, yeah.
Dits couldn't get through there when it opened. Mm.
Very confusing.
It still is very confusing. You know, near Adrian Bryan, where you turn to go right and it'll take you down South Road and get on the Southern Expressway.
Yep.
That little dip that goes under the bridge, the cops will do breathos there. I had no idea that they would do that. Like, they would stop a freeway and put it down.
I didn't think you'd be allowed to do that on a freeway.
Dangerous.
But at a dip as well.
Yep. So what happens, though, is they've covered their tracks because you know how they've got those LED signs that you can change the speed? I'm driving going, hang on, why is it 40? This is bloody ridiculous. And then when you get around and you see the traffic banking up, Ah, there you go. Mm, yes, right. So I thought that was unbelievable.
So what'd you blow? 0.15.
That's for the courts to decide. No. 0-0.
Good on you. Good on you. That's good.
Very quickly, what I learned over the weekend, we've got a couple of celebrities quarantining in Adelaide.
Who?
You know, we are one of the hubs, apparently, that you can fly into Adelaide and go into a hotel quarantining situation here. Mm-hmm. And they are sharing balconies. They're right next to each other. So they both came out on the weekend and looked across and went, oh. No, they're in separate rooms, and they looked across and went, hey, you're here as well. Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios.
No.
Side by side.
Oh, come on.
This is true. They're in Adelaide right now, quarantining for 14 days.
Where'd they play?
They've come back from the US.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they came out. And anyway, they photographed each other and said, who would have thought? You're there and I'm...
They probably couldn't put up with each other even being next door.
No.
God.
No.
What an unlikely
tantrum made in heaven.
Wouldn't the staff at the hotel would be getting hammered there, wouldn't they?
So there you go.
Oh, God.
In Adelaide.
In Adelaide.
Probably listening right now.
They could be.
Good morning, boys.
Yeah.
We're always so complimentary.
Why don't you have an exhibition match down at Memorial Drive?
Good stuff.
Now, I want to take our listeners back to the Tokyo Olympics. A young Adelaide boy who put his body, his life on the line for the green and gold. And this is just the lack of respect he got from this breakfast show.
Come off at about 50, 60, 70 k's an hour, I think.
And it hurts.
No padding.
No.
Straight on the deck. He got away with just scratches and bumps and bruises,
got up
didn't
and
he?
Walked straight off.
He's fine to go again, which is great news. But
turns out he had third-degree burns. He lost half his face. He lost part of his arm. Anyway, he's here. He's lived on to tell the tale.
I think we've got... Have we got the audio of what he really happened to him there, Hato, or not?
We've got him recounting what happened, which is nearly as good.
Lost most of the skin down the centre of my face. And I've taken a good chunk off my arm. And
we compared you to Rick Disney from the White Motorsports.
He's with us now. He's lived to tell the tale. Alex Porter, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
He's our work experience boy now.
Just got out of rehab. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm all healed up now. The body's back to normal, which I was a bit worried about because, you know, apart from what you said, it was actually a pretty bad burns. But I've healed up okay.
So, is it the worst accident you've had?
Unfortunately, no. I'd say I had one about 18 months before, and in that, I broke 6 ribs, Punctured a lung, broke my collarbone, and fractured a vertebrae.
What?
That one was pretty bad.
That is Rick Disney.
Yeah.
Hell.
Bloody hell.
So what happened on that occasion?
I was on the track again, and I crashed with a teammate, but instead of going into the track, I was at the very top and just fell from the top to the bottom, which is about 5 meters, and just hit the concrete.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah, and I knew I'd done my collarbone as soon as I sat up, and then I started coughing up blood, and that's when I thought I was in some serious
trouble. Do you get
trouble.
Gun shy after an accident like that? They say jockeys lose their nerve when they go for runs between horses flat out and race cars, motorbike riders, all that. People, after they have a couple of injuries, how's your mental state? You still got the fire? Obviously you have, because you went to the Olympics.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that... I've been working pretty hard at that point just to go to Tokyo. So, I know all the boys, we've been putting in effort. So, I wanted to keep on going and making sure I could get there. But, yeah, you just got to put it in the back of your mind and try not to think about it.
Mm. So, have you got to the bottom of the handlebar situation? Just to refresh everyone's memory, you're the lad who had the handlebars snap as you were going at high speed. So, what have you done investigation-wise since?
I was cycling. Our team, they're doing an investigation into it as we currently speak. That should hopefully be wrapping up in a month or two.
Can't be that bloody hard to work out. Apparently
it is. Apparently it is. Now, they're trying to work out because the bar snapped halfway down the stem, which I didn't think was possible.
Well, how many times has that happened in the history of your bike racing?
For me personally, from anyone I've spoken to, never.
Have you taken it back to the bike shop you bought it from?
I've gone and got a replacement. It's covered under warranty, luckily.
You didn't get it from Cash Converters or something, did you?
So what are you doing now? Have you got some time off?
Yeah, I just got time off. It's the first time I've had more than 2 or 3 weeks off for my entire cycling career. So I'm just making the most of being able to kind of do whatever I want. I spent 12 months wrapped up in a little bubble, so now I'm just enjoying life.
So what have you trained flat out for 7 or 8 years? Are you you're having a little rest now. The Olympics are on in Paris in, 3 years?
Yep, 24.
So you have a break now and then, train absolutely flat out to try and do better in Paris.
Yeah, essentially, rinse and repeat. Just make sure when I get there, the bars stay on this time. And
yeah.
Then hopefully we can bring home the gold medal.
Try and stay on.
Well, I'll be your number one fan in Paris, mate. I will be.
Jumps on the bandwagon. Hey, yeah, I've just got. I'm a bit of a cyclist.
Yep.
Can we please get a more comfortable seat? How hard are the bloody seats on the bikes these days?
Yeah, look, they're not.
Why don't we get soft seats?
They're not the best.
Sheepskin.
You got enough padding on your bum anyway. Oh.
No, it's all about aerodynamics. Then.
Is it?
That's the main thing. That's
I get a sore
they're...
ass.
Oh, you got... Look, I hope you find a saddle that will be more bearable.
Right. I'm not going to you for handlebars.
No, don't worry. No one does that.
There is Alex Porter. He's our man. He's our work experience lad here at Triple M. Hey, Roo, just a sideline. You know, we've got our young work experience fella in this morning, Alex Porter, the lad from the Olympic Games. He was just telling us, how many Ks do you think you've ridden? What are the stats? Tell us what you've done on the bike.
I looked it up the other day, and I was roughly, in the last 8 years, 132,000. I told that to a mate yesterday, and he informed me that's just over a quarter of the way to the moon.
Oh, my God.
Quarter of the way to the moon. I was just picturing going, you've gone across Australia 35 times.
Yeah.
I'll keep training. Come on.
Yeah, I've got a few more to do.
Anyway,
don't give up yet.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Is anyone here a doctor?
Hi, everybody.
Please welcome Dr. Lane Hinchcliffe.
Yes, our resident quack, Roo, because we're told they're flying in all of these pills for COVID. Good morning, Dr. Lane Hinchcliffe.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Good. What do you know about it?
Okay, so this is the red pill, not the blue pill, but I know. So, yeah, look, it's early days, but it's kind of exciting to hear that there's an antiviral drug that's potentially going to help change a little bit of the course of COVID infections for people. It looks like it's certainly reducing hospitalizations by about 50%. So early days, but certainly good news.
So you don't take it to stop getting it. You take it when you get it to stop the symptoms from being as bad as they could be. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a bit like an antibiotic, except because COVID's a virus, not a bacteria, we call it an antiviral drug. So it stops the virus from replicating. And antivirals are used for a lot of viral infections. We use them for things like the flu or shingles or things like that, even HIV. But they are a lot more complex, I guess, in their mechanism than an antibiotic. And so they can be harder to identify. And I think for that reason, it's taken a little bit of time to actually identify the right antivirals for COVID.
So it's not approved in Australia yet. Is it approved anywhere in the world? Where is this? From America, I suppose, is it? Or...
This one's from America. I think it is still early in trials, to be honest, but we do have a couple of other antivirals at the moment in Australia that have been approved for COVID, but they're only really being used in the hospital setting and they're only being used intravenously, so they have to be put through an IV line.
Right.
So with antibiotics, if you don't take the full round, there can be sort of consequences with that and run-on repercussions. Is it similar with an antiviral? Do you have to really stick to your treatment and make sure you're doing it religiously?
Yeah, 100%. You've got to be really careful about all these things that you don't just take half of them, because most of the time,
is that a myth or is that true, Doc?
No, well, what can happen is that the organisms, whether it's a virus or a bacteria, can develop resistance. If you only take part of it, then you essentially can get a resistant organism. And then when you do need it, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Please debunk the myth for me. We're going off on a tangent here now, but we're always told you're not allowed to drink alcohol when you're on antibiotics.
I knew you were going
to
ask that.
Well, why not? I need to know.
Yeah. Well,
that's just what my mum told me, I think, to make sure I didn't drink.
Well, I wanted to actually ask, Roo, I saw some good photos of you on Facebook. Were you drinking alcohol on endo?
I was a very, very disciplined patient over the weekend. It's hard to get through a long weekend without having a beverage, but I did the right thing, Doc. Thank you.
Good on you. Good on you.
So can I drink if I'm taking antibiotics?
Official line, no. Don't do that.
What's
the unofficial? What's the unofficial line?
Well, no, look, you've got to be careful. Some antibiotics, actually, if you do drink, you'll get really sick on them. So it's always better to be careful. But
they're not as effective either.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. It's, you can get, you know, like you got with your knee. little infection.
Oh, mm. Dr. Roo.
Well, you remember, I had to listen to your whinge for
a
bloody week.
On the line.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Now, before we go, Loz, you've actually Googled how to pronounce this drug. What is it?
Oh, is it
Molnupiravir?
Molnupiravir?
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty good to me.
Molnupiravir.
Say that 20 times.
All right, Dr. Lane, thanks for joining us, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
As always, our resident doc, Dr. Lane Hinchcliffe.
We're talking about what have you snuck into. Did you see the two lads over in Perth who did the shifty to get into the AFL Grand Final? They're hard to get AFL Grand Final tickets. $1,000, $2,000. You can pay up to $5,000 to get a ticket for when the big clubs are in. And these boys went to extreme lengths to get it. Let's have a listen.
We got one more thing up our sleeves. We're getting the high vis on. We're taking the trolleys in and we're walking straight in with confidence like we bloody work there.
I think we're in. Stop,
so in the rest of the video, Roo, I saw it on the 7 News a couple of nights ago, so they thought, they had one attempt, thought, we'll hop the fence, that wasn't going to work. They went somewhere like Bunnings, bought high-vis gear, grabbed a trolley each, and walk into the ground like they're working tradesmen.
Yeah.
And they walked past the security bay, just delivering something, mate, just kept walking.
Heart racing.
Yeah. And he got in. Yeah, and the security boy, good on you, boys. Just waved to him.
Yeah.
And they've just walked in, and then they've dumped their clothes and their trolleys and gone and enjoyed the grand final.
You got to give them a bit of credit, even though it's a bit naughty and, you know.
Like, high vis will get you into pretty much anywhere. It's an amazing,
Well, until high now.
And a lanyard.
Exposed it.
No, but this has been going on for years. Lanyards, any kind of official, you know, at festivals, walkie-talkie, forget about it. If you've got a walkie-talkie and someone's on the other end going, are you getting in? What's going on? I need you to grab that thing for me. And you're like,
but if you've got a lanyard on, don't you then have to have it scanned? Or you're hoping they're going to...
Well, they're scanning so many patrons that you kind of see someone official and like, off you go, mate, no worries.
Because we get scanned every time you go in Adelaide Oval, don't you, with your...
Yes, you do.
You do.
But you know, in the days of Footy Park, that was pretty slack, Roo.
Bit lax down there, the old redcoats.
Yeah.
And they're getting a bit tired.
I can talk about it now.
They needed people in there.
It was a lock-in. You know where the big TV trucks used to park? You'll know where I mean, on the members' side of the ground.
Yeah.
Well, they just had a massive gate that they would walk in and out of because they were taking all of their equipment in and out all the time.
So you're an equipment man, were you?
Well, just walk through.
Your cousins.
As long as you look busy. Look important. Just keep walking. So I would often say to mates, just come through this gate here and we just walk in. Yeah.
What about nightclubs? I mean, I remember we were early Crows days. The Royal at Kent Town was hot.
Yeah.
You know, very hard to get into.
Yeah.
And there was used to be a back entrance where you had to scale up and go in through the toilet and get into the nightclub through the toilet.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Mark Ricciuto had
early,
to do that.
Early days, I had to do it.
What if this happened at the Alma now?
Oh, we've kicked people out for going over the roof, going through everywhere.
You're joking.
No, of course it does. Anywhere you've got to line up in a nightclub, people will try anything they can to get in there. So, yeah, I've had to.
I don't have any nightclubs, but my friend Angela, her favourite thing to do is to break into festivals. So she's climbed the fence at WOMAD. She climbed under the fence at Groove and the Moo. My favourite one is when Paul Kelly and Cold Chisel were playing down at Glenelg and she was out in the ocean.
Oh, she made out she was a dolphin.
She came from York
Peninsula. She was on a donut. No, because it was right. There was a fence right by where the water sort of crashed on the sand.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get in. And as the tide sort of went out, she was sitting on a donut and Paul Kelly was like, hey, you out there on the donut? You know, gave her a little shout out. And then as the tide started to come in, she realised she was coming close to the fence and she dug under the fence. She dug under the fence and she came through and she saw like some acquaintances on her way up.
Yeah.
And they just looked at her like, come on, mate.
Trash.
Just buy a ticket. Buy she had a full-time ticket. Job. Oh, but man. I think she got
is
off.
Is she a tight ass, is she? Or?
Oh, the tightest.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But yeah.
God, you can't
she loved the thrill of breaking in and sneaking in.
She would have been a regular drive-in sneaker.
Oh, that was a must every Saturday night.
We all did.
How many could we get in our car?
12.
And then there was, in the end, at the Seat and Drive-In, sorry if you owned the Seat and Drive-In back in the day, but in the end, there was a gate halfway along the fence down the side street. And you'd just get one friend to drive in, and the rest of us would just walk in and go and sit in his car.
But that's why drive-ins got rorted universally. Sad. That's why it ended up, the charge was just a per car.
Yeah.
That's right.
It didn't matter if you had 14 kids under the blanket. Or
what about the kid in the back seat on the floor that sneezed?
Yeah.
How many's in the back there? No, sir, there's no one else in here.
At the age of 46, I can still picture myself under the blanket right now at the wake tree driving. It was just a done thing, but all fun.
Okay, what have you snuck into? This is on the back of the two boys in Perth. They're dressing up in Hi-Vis. They got trolleys out and looked like workmen and just waltzed into the grand final.
How good is that? Let's go to Pennington. Brad, what have you got into?
G'day, guys. I did the 2012 grand final with my best mate. We just walked around the gates, looked for the unfittest looking worker, lined up. We got all the way up to the turnstile, and then I don't remember if they used to have the old belts on the side.
Yeah.
Bang, straight under the belt, straight up the top, and see you later, in.
So you just ran for it, did you?
Just ran for it.
Sydney beat Hawthorn,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, Sydney Hawthorn, and unfortunately we were in Hawthorn gear and they lost, but that's all right, we still beat
them. Oh,
wow.
We tried to back it up in 2013, unfortunately they're a bit fitter.
You got caught?
And he may got caught in 2013, but I got in. So
what happened to your mate?
They just took his photo and just threw him out and just said, get fit, mate.
Yeah. Get fit, mate.
Get fit.
Let's go to Paraka. G'day, Lisa.
G'day, boys. How are you?
What have you snuck into?
I am Loz. Sorry, Loz.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
The opening ceremony at the Sydney 2000 Games.
What? Get out of here.
Yeah.
How did you do it?
I was actually a volunteer already at the Aquatic Centre. But with the opening ceremony, they had obviously really strict protocol to get in. You needed to have this black infinity circle on your security pass.
On your lanyard, right. Yeah.
Yeah, on your lanyard with your photo and all that stuff. And anyway, I just said, look, I'm going to put my uniform on and give it a go. And walked up with some of the other volunteers. And, you know, the guy was just sort of looking at half the passes with the infinity, missed mine, and in I went.
Well done.
Lisa, were you living in Adelaide at the time?
Yes.
So they had volunteers at the Sydney Olympics from Adelaide.
Yeah, from all over Australia.
I thought they were all Sydney siders, but they were brilliant. I reckon they half made the Olympics as good as
it was so much fun.
Lisa, I know someone else that did it, and am I right in saying that Sydney siders put a lot of people up, didn't they? They just billeted people randomly to make it all happen.
Gee.
Yeah, we actually stayed at a college.
Okay.
So because it was school holidays at the time, all of the students were out.
You snuck in there as well, did you?
No, that's where we stayed. And we were like basically right in the middle of the city. And, yeah, it was fantastic.
All right, well done. The opening ceremony of the Olympics. That's a good one.
That's very good.
What have you snuck into? This is on the back of the two boys sneaking into the AFL Grand Final just 2 weeks ago. And apparently they're going to get off scot-free, Roo.
Yeah, and by the look of the phone lines here at Triple M, we've got a lot of sneaky people listening to our show. Let's go to Paralawi. Ian, what have you snuck into?
G'day, gents. I just snuck into the cross changing room at Sydney.
Excuse me? what year?
It's a couple of years ago when the cross won by a couple of points. And
must have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the years when Tippett and Petrenko and that played. And they won by about 3 or 4 points.
Right.
But we're actually looking for the after party where the crows go after the game. and we spoke to the security guard and we asked him where the after party was. And he said it was behind the goals down the back end there. So he pointed us across. We actually walked across the SCG.
Yeah.
We went to another security guard and he pointed us to this doorway. So we walked around the back there, opened the door and into the change room.
And we're there.
Malcolm Blight, we're talking to Tippy, we're talking to Drake. Yeah. It was amazing.
That's amazing.
Good on you, Ian. Thank you. Did he say Malcolm Blight?
Yeah.
Let's head to Blakeview. G'day, Carl. What have you snuck into?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I actually didn't sneak into. I actually slept at the Clipsal 500 underneath the truck wheel.
So you had a massive day, did you?
I had a few ales, Roo, just a few ales, and my boss is actually racing there, and I was going to go the next day, but my mate said, nah, why don't you just stay here, stay driving home, and here's a set of overalls, use them as a pillow, and sleep under the boss's wheels.
You slept under a truck?
Yeah, I slept under a truck. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, there's security guard walking around, as you hear, and as I looked up, there's this huge possum looking at me saying, "What are you doing here?"
Oh, my God.
So dangerous.
God, let's go to Fulham Gardens. Gavin, what have you snuck into?
G'day, boys. How are we?
Very well.
Yeah, back in the day, I think I was still in high school, year 11 high school, when I got in the back of a Coke van, you know, the old post-mix Coke vans.
Yeah.
My brother used to work for Coke and special events, and I got in there and I went into the AC/DC concert.
Oh, in the back of a Coke van?
Yeah, in the back of a Coke van. I got in with one of my mates and they go, "Nah, they're going to check the van," and up straight through we went.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful. Let's go to Woodside. Kathy, what have you snuck into?
Not me, my husband. Back years ago, my husband had a mate that did security.
Yep.
And they managed to show security badge, and they got into the back of the Elton John concert, and they sat him with the roadies drinking.
Oh.
And then Elton John came off the stage, and the guy said, "Great concert, EJ," and he waved at them.
Oh,
EJ.
Wow. Gee whiz.
We're on nickname terms.
perfect. How good's that? That's very good.